Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the episode. I'm recording this first little bit at the Minnesota State Fair. And I'm hoping that some of the sounds come through a little bit because I have podcasted about the fair before. If you know me, you know I love the fair. And I'm going to be doing an entire episode about Minnesota and my trip here and the Minnesota State Fair. So I'm here for the third time. I've been in Minnesota for, let's see, I got here on Wednesday and it's Monday. So I don't know how many days that weighs, 5 days. I've been here three times, Thursday, Sunday, and now today. And so it's been a big part of my trip here, and it's always a big part of my Minnesota memories. And this is Roy's first fair. He's never been before. So it's been really fun to show him the fair. And last night we did a little wedding reception meet and greet here. So put on a wedding dress, and Roy put on his suit, and we just kind of told people we were going to be here. And it was wonderful to see them and then walk around the fair all dressed up and get all the congratulations. So if all those congratulations carry weight, we're going to have an amazing life together because we got so many. So today we were on a quest to find some of the new fair foods and for Roy to try some fair foods, some weird things. And so we did that. We tried the Amish donut, which was the new big rage this year. I don't eat donuts anymore, so I didn't eat one. My dad had a whole one, which he should not because he is diabetic. But Roy said they were good, but they kind of tasted like a Krispy Kreme. And then there was pickle fries everybody was raving about. Those were pretty good. Those were just deep fried pickle spears, but the breading was kind of spicy. They were good. There was a deep fried fold over pie that's always popular every year. And this year the new flavor was cookie dough. So it was this pie, deep fried. And when you cut it open, just this oozy cookie dough poured out. And I didn't eat it, but it looked disgusting. And Roy is standing here smirking. Roy said it was good, but it was like one bite was enough. So there was that. My dad had crab cakes. Roy had crab fritters. I don't know what the difference between a fritter and a cake is, but there was that.
Well, a fritter is more like, it's more mostly bread. It's like the, I don't know, cornmeal.
Oh, so it's more like a hush puppy type?
It's like a hush puppy, but it's like little bits and pieces of crab inside of it and herbs and whatnot.
I see. Let's see what else. So here's the thing, and I've talked about it before, but the draw of the fair is eating. It's just a food fest. And I've loved it my whole life because I'm a binge eater and I'm, you know, inside I'm a fat person and I always will identify as an obese person. But recently I feel like I've really gotten free from food. And so coming here has been interesting in my brain because while I'm not tempted by sweet things, I still have to examine if I'm enjoying myself, if it means I'm not binge eating all day. And I conclude that I enjoy some aspects of it, but I would rather be doing something else because if I'm not going to eat all day, I don't know. Like, I've seen the things I like and then I'm just bored of it. So that's the first time I've been able to say that about the fair. So it's, I think it's kind of come full circle. And now people say that the goal of, like, the goal of an alcoholic is to become like a non-drinker where you don't even think about it. And I think the goal for someone who is a food-obsessed binge eater, formerly obese person, is to get to a point where you're indifferent about going to things that revolve around food. And I feel like I'm pretty close to that, and that's very freeing. So that's exciting. And we're going to talk more about that in future episodes. But just wanted to do a little intro to this episode with some of the noise of the fair. There's a little band playing at the AFL-CIO. Minnesota's a big union state. So they've got a nice little band over there. Pretty good. I'm standing in front of the Ufta taco stand. An Ufta taco is a play on a Norwegian expression, Ufta, like which mean like, oh my. Or like if you were to trip, you would say Ufta. Or if you would sit down and you were really tired and your feet hurt, you would say Ufta. So an Ufta taco is like a flat fry bread. It's like a little piece of dough. They flatten it out and deep fry it, and then they make it into a taco by piling taco meat and stuff on it, and there's a pretty decent line in front of that. So that's in front of me next to the Farmers Union, which is the voice of rural Minnesota. And we just went there because they have really great coffee. So if you can hear my ice, we got iced lattes or iced Americanos.
What about right behind you here? We have deep fried cookie dough on a stick. About 10 or 15 different varieties of cookie doughs. Deep breaded, deep fried, sprinkled with powdered sugar on a stick.
Yes, that is right behind us. I don't like cookie dough, so I've never eaten this, but you can either get cold cookie dough. It's $8 for 3 pieces of cookie dough. So these cookie doughs, you'd put on a sheet and you would bake. It would be 3 cookies. So 3 of those on a stick, $8. Or for $4, you can get, just looks like one big long one deep fried and chocolate chip cookie dough. So that's really popular. There's Reese's peanut butter, triple chocolate, white chocolate cranberry. They'll dip it in chocolate and sprinkles for $2 extra. There's an Oreo crumble one that's $10. So what I've noticed this year is everything is insanely expensive compared to other years. And it's always expensive, but this year just feels like I'm being slapped. A corn dog is $6. Our pickle fries were $8. This cookie dough is $10. A fry bread taco, I think it's $9. Chicken on a stick, which I really like, $12.
We didn't try the pork chop on a stick.
Pork chop on a stick is usually really good. It's $11 for a pork chop on a stick. The pizza on a stick, which Roy got yesterday, which was really good, $11.
Well worth it.
But that sign said still $11, which means they didn't raise the price. I was so kind of them. The footlong hot dog stands on the other corner. We went there yesterday in our wedding gear and we ate one together. He started on one end, I started on the other. Those were $8. They did not give it to us free, which was rude. We were dressed up.
Really rude. They even told us they weren't going to give us a wedding discount.
Yeah, losers. But anyway, and you know what? It was mostly bun.
It was mostly bun.
I didn't like it. I normally like those, but on the other corner, there's the Oven Fresh Brownie stand, which coincidentally is the anchor to the health fair building.
<It is. laughs> So
you can go into the health fair and get your cholesterol checked, your blood typed. You can learn all about the dangers of, foods that are give you shock, like, you know, peanut allergies and stuff. And then get a brownie. So there's that. Also, the merchandise mart. So you go in there and they have all these as seen on TV things, which we should really go in there, Roy. They have things that you can't live without, like little things to seal your cereal bag in the box so that it doesn't get stale. There's usually a mop or something and a chamois.
Probably some Flex Seal in there.
Yeah, there's some really, really handy dandy giant lamps that are great to buy and then carry around the fair all day.
Sam Wow.
There's these giant like cushion things that you inflate with air and you can just basically have a little nap anywhere or like a place to rest, and they look a little perverted, like they look like vaginas. I'm just gonna say it.
Oh, those.
Yeah, they're in there. And what else do we see? Oh, the Culligan water station. So if you bring your own water bottle, you can fill it up for free all day. The hydration station. I used to do that, but now I don't do that anymore.
You know, we did not try was a pickle corn dog. Was it a sausage? The pickle, where they stuff a sausage inside the pickle, then put an egg batter on it and then deep fry it.
Yeah, it's like the dilly dog. I can't remember if they put the pickle inside the sausage or the sausage inside the pickle.
I'm gonna guess they put a sausage inside the pickle. That makes the most sense. Gotta pull it out, you know?
My sister got that last year and it fell apart. We did not have that. It's just weird. But last night before we left, we stopped by O'Gara's and they gave Roy and Sam free beer and they gave me free Reuben cheese, grilled cheese bites.
They're like deep fried. It's like grilled cheese sandwich that on rye bread, chop it up into little square bites, bread it and deep fry it on a stick. Bam.
Yeah, they were pretty good, but we were pretty full by that point in time. So that's the great Minnesota get together. And it's been really, really fun. I'm going to talk more here in a non-loud segment about some of the things that are just stereotypical about Minnesota and just the things that are interesting. Having moved away for 3 years and then coming back and being reminded of what my home is like. And I noticed things I didn't used to see. So some exciting, fun things for those of you that listen that are in Minnesota or know a Minnesotan. And as you can hear in my voice, I now sound a lot more Minnesotan than I normally do because I've been here for a few days. But I'm learning to embrace my Minnesotan. And I'm a lot prouder of it than I was before. And also, it's interesting what the word home means when you move away. And so we'll talk more about that. But reporting live from the fair, we're going to sign off now. Say goodbye, Roy.
Bye, Roy.
So this weekend, I was at a wedding, and I was at the fair, and I was at a concert, and I was out to dinner a couple of times, and I was in a couple of retail stores, and I saw something many, many times. I saw women who were clearly uncomfortable in their skin, and I could tell. I could see the way they looked at other women to assess their outfits, to compare. I saw them tugging and pulling at hems and adjusting their clothes. I saw them pulling their shirt down over their tummy or up around their shoulders. I saw them hitching their pants up. I saw them sitting down and being very, very careful to arrange their shirt or their pants or their hem of their skirt and looking around nervously. I saw a lot of that, and I noticed it because that has been me my entire adult life. Even after losing weight, I've still felt uncomfortable in my skin. And you might say, oh, well, that's because they're overweight or because they've gained weight. Well, not necessarily. Yes, in some of these cases, these were women who were morbidly obese or overweight to a degree. But I saw it on women who didn't appear to be overweight. I also, after a couple of days at the fair and eating weird things, my clothes didn't fit as well as I wanted to, and I found myself uncomfortable in my skin. That's a feeling I notice I hate, and I work really hard to fix as soon as humanly possible. And the way that we fix that is not by losing a bunch of weight overnight. The way we fix that is to immediately go back to habits or start habits that make us feel in control of our bodies. So for instance, I can have a client who is 100 pounds overweight, and after just 1 week of walking every day and controlling their calories or their protein or whatever their nutrition goal is, for 1 week, they feel more comfortable in their skin. Very little has actually changed in their body in 1 week as far as how much they weigh, but what has massively changed is the way they feel about themselves, period. When we show up for ourselves consistently and we know we're doing the things that are in our control to make our bodies and our beings line up, we immediately feel more comfortable in our skin. We don't have to wait until we hit a goal weight. We don't have to wait until the perfect size, whatever fits our body, because it's not about that. It's about feeling like the person that we are is showing up in the way that makes ourselves proud. And when you're doing that, it doesn't matter how long it takes to hit a goal weight or fit into a certain dress. You're going to feel comfortable in your skin because you know you're showing up. It's amazing how the correlation between how you're showing up and how you feel in the same body on a Monday to a Tuesday, it's phenomenal. I can do nothing for my health on Monday and feel horrible in my skin. And then on Tuesday, do everything I know to do. Go for a walk, eat a few vegetables, prioritize my protein, and go to bed on time, and I feel invincible. My body hasn't changed, but how I showed up for it did. That's the kind of skill set that I love to teach. If that sounds interesting to you, please reach out to me. You can message me, Kristen at kristensmithonline.com. Tell me if you feel uncomfortable in your skin. I would love to talk to you about how I can help you feel comfortable in your skin. It's not about a number on the scale, and it's not about a size dress. It's about walking into any room knowing that you are showing up for yourself every day and you feel powerful and confident in who you are. I would love, love to walk that journey with you and help you to feel comfortable in your skin every single day, always, no matter what your skin looks like. Well, that was fun. That was fair visit number 3 for me. It's interesting because listening back to that, I can kind of hear how my voice was a little out of breath. One thing that I monitor on myself is my resting heart rate. And when I'm in my nice routine where I'm getting enough sleep, I'm getting enough water, I'm getting good movement in, I'm not eating fried things, my resting heart rate is around 51 to 55 zone. And then when those things aren't happening, my resting heart rate goes high. And that's just an indication to me that I need to, you know, I need to get back to healthier things and get rest and all of that. And so my resting heart rate when I got to Minnesota was 51. And then by Monday it was 61 because of not enough sleep and eating like just random weird things. The fried things really affect me really badly, and gluten affects me really badly. So anyway, the fair was really, really fun. I really loved showing it to Roy, and I loved being there in our wedding gear with our little reception. So fun to see people that I love so much that represent home, taking time out of their life to annoyingly go through the traffic and the work of going to the fair. It's hard to get in and out of there. And so the people who came, I think, were people who were going to go to the fair that day anyway. I don't know that anyone specifically came just to see me, but that wouldn't surprise me because they're so nice and they love me so much. But it was kind of a good way to weed out the people who actually care about me too. Like, if you like me a little bit, you're not going to go to the trouble of going to the fair. You're just not. You're going to be like, I like you, Kristen, but like, no, not for you. But if you really love me, you're going to make it happen. So I'm just kidding, sort of. But anyway, what was fun about the fair, and every year that I'm gone from Minnesota, when I go back, I notice things. And so that's why I decided to kind of have a fun little episode about being Minnesotan and just the stereotypical things. And, you know, at the fair, one of the things that I overhear all the time and that we all do is we notice what is the same, because the Minnesota State Fair is epic, it's huge, and there's so much that is exactly the same year, from same place, the same from year to year. The food vendors are the same, and then every year they put out a list of the new vendors and the new foods, which is the big deal to try the new foods. And there's usually not that many, like, I don't know, 23, 25, 30 maybe. And certainly there's only a couple of new food vendors. And even the grandstand, which is full of vendors, there's two floors of the inside of the grandstand that's all vendors. It's crafts and, you know, like people selling things and tools and hammocks and baby clothes and electronics and, you know, special things that will cut wood. And, you know, like there's these guys in there that every year they're there demonstrating how their pruners will snap through twigs, and they've got a big pile of twigs and you can snap one off, and the hammocks, you can sit in the hammock, and there's always people sitting in all the hammocks, and you wait in line for your chance to sit in a hammock. Nobody buys the hammock, but you count on the hammocks being there so you can see it every year. And so it's kind of like everybody goes to the fair and you verify that it's the same. And when something is different, it's a big deal. Like, we were walking past the grandstand and I heard this woman talking to her husband, and she was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're not there this year. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't know they weren't going to be there. And she's like, I don't understand. It's been in that corner for 20 years. I always got my pecan turtles. They were talking about this chocolate store that always had a booth in the corner of the grandstand. You could get a chocolate covered turtle. And I used to always get chocolate covered Twizzlers and chocolate covered marshmallows. And they'd have a coupon in the coupon book. And so you'd go in there, and it was this Stillwater, Minnesota based chocolate company, and they aren't there. And so I overheard that, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a conversation that we always have. I remember when I was a kid, up until just a few years ago, Schmidt Music had this huge section of the retail area. And now it's very expensive to have a booth at the Minnesota State Fair in the grandstand. And the grandstand is open like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So you have to man it for 12 hours. And, you know, there's several million people that go through the state fair every year. And so, you know, my whole life, you walk in the grandstand and Schmidt Music is there, and there's grand pianos and organs, and there's a player piano, and there's some salespeople standing there, and that's just the way it is. And then one year, they wasn't there. And it was like, what? Where'd they go? They're not here? And it was this shocking thing. I don't know why. I never bought a piano from them. I never touched a piano. I'm pretty sure that very few people ever went to the fair to buy a piano. Someone must have. But it was just this jarring thing of like, oh my goodness, where's the Schmidt Piano Company? They're not in their grandstand. And then, you know, talking to your parents later in the week. Oh, I went to the fair. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Schmidt music stuff. It's gone. What? They've been there forever. I know. They're not there. Well, what's there instead? Oh, some Christmas ornaments and some candles and some wine slushies. Oh, that's ridiculous. Who wants that stuff? Well, I don't know, but Schmidt's not there. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know. I wonder why. I wonder if they're doing okay. You know, they still have their showroom over off Brooklyn Boulevard over there. You used to have your piano recitals there, remember? Yeah, I remember. That conversation actually happened. And so there's so much of this, of you basically go to the fair to verify that everything is where it's supposed to be from your whole life. And if it's not, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Oh my gosh. I always get my chamois in the merchandise mart, as you hear, the ShamWow. Now, when I had a puppy, my giant golden doodle puppy, I used a ShamWow all the time because he had accidents, and a ShamWow is spectacular. If you have a chance to have a ShamWow, you should have one. You get it wet, you wring it out, and then you set it down on anything, and it just sucks it up and holds that moisture. It's amazing. And they demonstrate this for 12 hours a day for 12 days of the fair using Diet Coke, pouring it into a bowl, sucking it up, wringing it out, showing how you can clean all this stuff out. And then who wants one? You can get a pack of two. You can get a pack of three. Who's going to get them? And then everyone's like, me, me, me. And then all around the fair, everyone's walking around with their big, giant roll of ShamWows, including the Kristen of the past. So it's nostalgia. And so bringing someone who's never been there before is like fun, but they don't get it because it's not the same. They're not looking at the Culligan water station and remembering all the times that you waited in line to fill your water bottle and how smug you felt that you weren't paying money for soda. You were getting free water. And, you know, they don't understand that you have always gotten a cup of RC Cola from the RC Cola wagon from the time you were 5 until you were 45 with your dad. And it's the cheapest place to get soda at the fair. And God help us if that wagon goes away. Oh my goodness. So that's really what it is. It's a verification system going to the fair. This year, I didn't really notice many things that weren't there anymore, but there were quite a few new things that were nice. Like they had this special kids area. They had moved some, they have this like big slingshot thing. They moved that all into one area. It made a lot more sense. Made room for some new food vendors. You know, oh my gosh, we got to have more food vendors. But anyway, so that's what the fair is. So there was other things that were interesting about visiting Minnesota that I kind of made a little list of. So first of all, there's Caribou Coffee in Minnesota. Now, Caribou has expanded outside of Minnesota. In fact, there's one in Raleigh. And so when I went to North Carolina, I made sure to find it because we don't have Caribou here in Florida. They're opening some over on the Gulf side of the state, but there's no Caribou. And I don't particularly love Caribou so much. It's more like it's so Minnesotan. It started in Minnesota and it's, you know, Caribou Coffee. And when it's cold in Minnesota and you go inside of Caribou Coffee, they have a fireplace and their branding is very like true north, buffalo plaid, lots of flannel. It's warm in there. The names of their drinks, I hear my Minnesota when I even talk about this, but Campfire Mocha and the Northern Light Latte, and their branding is very Minnesota. And so coming home and seeing a Caribou is just, there's something about it that hits the heart. And I'm not the only one who feels this way about something from their hometown, but it's so important that I get Caribou the minute I get off the plane. And luckily there's 700 Caribous in the airport, but immediately get off the plane, run over to Caribou, get a crafted press. So they have a drink called the crafted press that is magical. And even Samantha, my niece, who is the coffee goddess, who owns her little coffee shop in North Carolina and is going to be massively successful as a coffee empire. You just watch Sam Linscott, just make a note, the Heart Coffee Company. You're going to be obsessed with her as soon as you can get to her coffee. Anyway, she's obsessed with it and she wants to put together a similar drink for her menu, but coming up with a name is the tough part. But it's some blend of espresso and cream and salt and sugar that's perfect. It's not really sweet. It's a touch sweet, but the salt, I don't know, there's something about it. And they make it hot or iced and it's magic. And so We get off the plane. Also, Caribou has an extra large size. So Starbucks has a Trenta, which is an extra large cold size, but they don't have an extra large hot size. So they need to get their act together, because when I want coffee, I really do want an extra large. So we got two extra large crafted presses, and then we drank them between getting off the plane and getting to the baggage claim. So they were gone, but luckily there was another Caribou right down there. So within 10 minutes of being in Minnesota, I had two extra large Caribous. But what I noticed after a week, Caribou's freaking expensive. What the actual hell? Okay, it's not so good that they should be able to charge that. An extra large hot crafted press is like $6.50. And an extra large brewed coffee is like four something. So it's ridiculous. And then if you get a flavor shot in there, like I like to get sugar-free caramel sometimes. Basically, Roy and I were spending $13 to $15 every time we got coffee from there. And we were getting coffee from there a lot because I was like, Caribou, there's another one. I must have it while I'm here. But one of the last days we were there, we went to Starbucks and we just got two large coffees and it was six something. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What? This is better coffee. It's better coffee, stronger coffee. They don't have the crafted press, but their regular coffee is better than Caribou. Caribou, when first time I had Roy have it, I was so excited. I'm like, Roy, this is Caribou. And here it is. And I hand it to him and I'm looking at him like, if you watched The Wedding Singer and Adam Sandler's character gave singing lessons to the old lady and the old lady paid him with meatballs and she made him take the meatball out of the pan and then she's good, go ahead, taste it. I want to see you enjoy it. And she had that look on her face of just total excitement, making Adam Sandler take a bite of the meatball with his bare hands. That's my face when I was showing Roy Caribou coffee the first time. And he took a drink and I'm looking at him like, yeah, yeah, isn't it great? And he was like, this is really weak coffee. And I was like, yeah, but it's great, isn't it? And he's like, no, this is what you've been excited about? And he was very confused. And I understand, because it's not amazing coffee. It's fine. It's not strong like Starbucks, and I actually prefer strong coffee, but it's just nostalgia. So anyway, enough about that. Caribou versus Starbucks was a big part of my trip. So another thing I find interesting about Minnesota, and I noticed this the minute I got off the plane and was in the airport, is the capri pants. I know what they are, and I'm not against them. I just realized I haven't seen them in a long time because they're not a thing here. In general, in Miami, it's too hot to wear jeans. I rarely see women in jeans, and if I see them in jeans, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Aren't you dying? Don't you hate your life? How are you going to peel those off? And so capri pants, also, just not, I don't see them. And in Minnesota, it's been hot summer, but capris are kind of like, they get you from April to October because they're kind of a pant, but they're kind of a short, and they're this in-between thing. It's like, are you ashamed of your knees but proud of your ankles? It's kind of what capris pants are saying. I'm ashamed of my knees but proud of my ankles. But in the airport, I just saw so many capri pants. I was like, holy buckets, I forgot. I forgot about capri pants. I mean, people in Miami just don't wear clothes, I guess is the main thing, including me. I wear as little clothes as possible. So it's not like I'm judging capris, but it was shocking. And then the other thing I noticed right away was the hairdos on women. I don't know why they stood out. They weren't bad hairdos. Some of them were bad hairdos. It's not like I'm against hairdos. I just don't see it anymore. Women here in Miami just have hair that they just have. It's typically, I mean, there's people who do highlights and stuff, but most people here have like darker hair. Obviously, lots of people here that were not born and raised in Miami as, you know, Scandinavian Minnesotans. But so there's lots of like people here from Brazil and Mexico and Venezuela and Nicaragua and Cuba. And so dark hair, and you just have your hair. You don't do anything to it. You don't cut it into an asymmetrical bob. You don't put orange streaks in it. You don't have like one piece hanging in your face and the rest of it really short in the back. Like it doesn't happen. The mom hairdos are not here. So I saw a lot of mom hairdos, a lot of cute bobs. I love a cute bob, but then with like aggressive streaks of color or highlighting. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about the Minnesota hairdo. It's just not something I see. Again, not criticizing. It just stood out. I would say I'm criticizing about 20% of them because I saw a lot of bad ones. But they were also usually on the person with the bad capris. There were cute capris and there were bad capris. But I saw a lot of bad capris and bad hairdos. But that's okay. It's, you know, down here there's a lot of people who should not be naked that are. So, you know, pick your poison. So the other thing that I really, really love about Minnesota that they don't have here, which I guess I don't care because I never go there, is Menards. So here it's Home Depot and Lowe's because that's the national chains. But Minnesota and I think five-state area, I guess I don't know where they all are. I should look it up. They have Menards. And we were in the car. And the minute I get to town, I turn the radio to KDWB because we're usually in the car in the morning. And I love Dave Ryan in the morning on KDWB. He's amazing. He's been on the radio for like 30 years. He gives really good advice. He's really funny. But he's a really solid, good human. A little bit of a shock jock. I think back in the 90s, he was more so. But like, he's older now. His kids are graduated and adults. He loves his kids. He's so proud of his kids. And he loves Minnesota. He's just a Minnesota staple. So I have on KDWB listening to the morning show. And an ad came on for Menards. And I immediately was singing along to it. And I was so happy. And I looked over at Roy. I'm like, oh my gosh. He doesn't know the Menards song. And I thought everyone in Minnesota knows the Menards song. I'm going to sing it for you. You save big money. You save big money when you shop Menards. That's it. And then the little jingle. And then there's this like old guy with white hair on the TV version, which I never really saw many of, telling about the deals. Now, the thing about Menards is they have variety. Most of the stores are two levels with this really cool slow-moving escalator in the middle without steps. It's more like a hill. It's like an escalator ramp, but it's slow so you can really look around. And here's an example of what you can get at Menards. You can walk in and be like, oh, yes, I need a 5-gallon jug of peanut butter-filled pretzels because I'm out. So we can get those. And then like, oh, I need to mail a thank you card. So I have this nice selection of greeting cards that I can pick out a nice thank you card for my auntie. And then I can be like, oh my goodness, I really need toilet paper. Let's get some of that. And then moving back to the back of the store, you know what? Maybe I should see what kind of sales they have on appliances because they have an entire appliance section and they have the latest and greatest refrigerators. And across from that, area rugs. Oh, and don't forget the grocery section because pork loin, buy one, get one free, next to the pickles, next to the potato chips, next to the dog food. Oh, and then if you want to get a head start, it's the Christmas tree department, next to the stereo equipment, upstairs, the bathtubs, the toilets, the wiring, and the chandeliers for your new home. Let's not forget the clothing because there's hunting apparel. There's rain boots, there's flannel, jeans, Wranglers. Oh, there's fishing rods and guns, camouflage. Oh, let's not forget to stop and get baking soda and chocolate chips. Oh, also, are you having a party? There's outdoor lawn furniture. There's flamingo lights. There's bug spray. There's camping gear. And let's not forget to go outside and get some mulch and maybe some flowering pear trees and maybe some gladiolas and some bulbs to plant before winter. Maybe we should go ahead and get a new riding lawnmower and some fertilizer. Oops, I forgot. We need Pepsi. Let's go get some soda and some bottled water. This is truth. I speak truth. All of that is in one store. It's insane. And it's wonderful. And if you need a gift card for your dad for any occasion, Menards, there's something there. I'm pretty sure they're going to have a pharmacy at some point, you know? So that's Menards. People who are not from my area have no idea how wonderful it is to go into a Menards. It's wonderful. You just go in there to see what they have and just to bask in all of the products that are in the one place. And it's really great at Christmas time. Their Christmas area is amazing. So Menards, part of the landscape of Minnesota. Love it. You save big money also. Home Depot is fine. It's like whatever. But Menards, there's something about it that is magical. Oh, they have really great prices on batteries and popcorn too. So one of the things that they talked about on the Dave Ryan show in the morning was how everybody talks about the weather. And they said, you know what you should do every time you call your mom in Minnesota, I guess it's everywhere. Every time you call your mom, just time how long between saying hello until she brings up the weather. I'm like, I think it would be like less than a minute. That's like Minnesota moms. I think it's everyone, but for sure Minnesota moms. But in Minnesota, the weather it's always interesting because like when we got there, it was 100 degrees. They were having unseasonably hot weather. And then Sunday morning, just a few days later, it was 51 degrees in the morning. And so the temperature can fluctuate 100 degrees within a week. And sometimes it can drop 75 to 80 degrees overnight in the summer if you get a really hot, you know, heat wave and then a storm comes through and just completely brings this totally different friend in. And so the weather can be completely nutty. We got lucky because it was perfect weather. It was fantastic. So the weather in Minnesota is always a great topic. And then ultimately, the thing that makes Minnesota, Minnesota, when you talk about the metro area, is the river. I heard this so many times, people talking about where they go. Because the metro area, I always explain it to people. It's like, think of a steering wheel on a car or a big compass. And that's kind of what the metro is. There's a big belt around the cities. And we have twin cities. So Minneapolis and St. Paul, and there's just the river goes between them. And so there's the Minneapolis side of the river and the St. Paul side of the river. And if you're from St. Paul, you don't usually go to the Minnesota side. You know, we're over here in the St. Paul side. We're east side. Ooh, we're thundering here. Sorry, Gus is freaking out because there's a big thunder. So there's the east side and then there's the Minneapolis side. But then there are people that are on the south side and they're on the south side of the Minnesota River. So those people are like, I never go north of the river. I stay down here, you know, like the Eagan, Burnsville, Savage area. We stay south of the river. And then there's the people that are in the north, like my parents. Like they're so north, they're north so far, they're above the steering wheel. And so that's the north. That's the outer ring suburbs. They never really go into the city. We don't go into the cities. We only go into the cities if we have to. We stay out of the cities. That's the conversation up there. Oh, yeah, I commute to the city. I take the bus in and out to go to the city. So I was raised up there half of my life, and half of my life I was raised in the city. And when I was a kid, we were in the city, and it was this big dream to get out of the city and go to those outer ring suburbs. And so my parents, they live outside of the city. And then my brother and my sister, they were always up in the northwest corner in Brooklyn Park. So, you know, that quadrant, New Hope, Brooklyn Park, my sister would rarely go south. Well, then she married Matt, and Matt lives south of the river. And so now they move south of the river. And so it's like, I never really had to cross the river to get to work. And now I got to cross the river and the traffic is terrible because I got to cross the river. And so the number of conversations that I heard about crossing one of the rivers or staying in your quadrant on the north side or the south side, it's like a whole other world. And here, I know we talk about like on the beach and off the beach, you know, the island of Miami Beach and the mainland, but in Minnesota, it's all about the river. And now I prefer the east side because I spent 20 years in Woodbury. But I commuted into Minneapolis for a lot of that. And so Minneapolis just felt professional and eclectic. And then the east side felt like home, a good place to raise kids. Well, then when I married Greg, I moved over to Minneapolis. And then it was weird to live in the city. And all of a sudden I was locking my door and I felt like very insecure and unsafe because I was in the city. Because my whole life it was all about get out of the city. And so by the time I left Minnesota, I had lived everywhere and none of it fazes me now. Minneapolis is nothing like it used to be. After the COVID shutdown really wiped out a lot of small businesses, at the same time that the George Floyd situation happened, there was a lot of rioting, looting, things were burned down, and then businesses didn't reopen. And so it's really, really sad what's happened to downtown Minneapolis and the uptown area, because families moved out, small businesses didn't recover. It's just really sad. And so it's nothing like the Minnesota that I moved away from. And hopefully they can figure out the issues that are going on there and they can come back stronger than ever, because it's a beautiful place to live for about 6 weeks of the year. So anyway, so that's my little walk down Minnesota nostalgic memory lane, talking a little bit about the things that make me love Minnesota and make me miss it. Not miss it enough to move back, but
every time I go back, it just is a little bit more sweet. And then leaving is bittersweet. This time, it was the hardest time I've ever had leaving. And every time I leave, it's harder. And this time I was full on ugly crying sitting at breakfast at the airport, just feeling just utterly distraught at leaving. It just felt like I was ripping a giant gash into my soul. It was agony. And I never expected that when I moved away. It was fun to move away. I was excited to move away. I live in a wonderful place. I love where I live. But the depth of my relationships in Minnesota with my family and then just people who know my history, who were there through all of my life story, there's something about that that is so grounding. And I feel so connected and so known and seen and remembered that coming home here, which I love my life here, and I've made amazing friendships that are very rich already, it's different. It always is. I'm not the first person to say this or notice this, but I didn't know it. I didn't realize it. I didn't anticipate it. And so it's been hard to just accept it and give myself grace to feel and know that I don't have to do anything about it. I'm not going to leave here. I'm not going back. It doesn't mean anything negative about here. It doesn't mean anything negative about there. It just is. And just to connect the dots of why it feels so grounding to be there, to understand that it's because my story is there and I tell my story here and I get a lot of head shaking, like I can't imagine. And now when I'm there and I reference something, I hear, oh yeah, I remember that. And it's almost like, I don't know. It's the most beautiful thing to hear. I remember that. And it's precious. And I'm so grateful I got to go back and see people who knew me then, who vouch. It's almost like they vouch for me. I tell the stories and I'm the only one in the room who remembers it. But when I'm in a room with other people who were there, it's like we share that. So it's wonderful. It's kind of like how I felt when Danny came to San Francisco to our wedding there, and he could vouch for our life here when we were talking about, you know, the beach and the people here and our life here. And Rory could talk about his experience moving away from San Francisco into this community. There's something about being next to someone who shares your history that is just, I don't know. Don't take it for granted. Don't take the people in your life that have lived through your life with you for granted. And the fact that you can sit at a table and tell a story and it's just as vivid in their soul as it is yours. Don't take that for granted. It's precious. It's precious. I never would have realized that before I left home. So anyway, I'm grateful. Grateful for that. And while home, I got to spend time with Amanda. We got to stay with Amanda and Jeff and Boris and Jay the cats. And Gus was really interested in the cats, but they got along fine. Got to go down to Iowa, see my aunt and uncle, which is always just way too short, but always so precious. Got to enjoy time at my sister's new home. She and her husband just moved into their new home, and they have a swimming pool and like all of the space. And it was wonderful to get to spend time with them and see our friend Cheryl. And my friend Rachel, who is my longest friend, she was the only friend I was allowed to have who wasn't in church. And it was because she was homeschooled and really conservative, and my mom went to school with her dad. So her name is Rachel, and she came to see us at my sister's house. So it was super fun to see her. And I forget all the other people. Oh, I got to officiate a wedding, which was really fun. I went to go to my friend's wedding. My client and friend Lulu in Minnesota had invited us to her wedding. She found this wonderful man, and she's just like, it's so exciting to see the beautiful life she's building with her new husband. But their wedding was this past weekend, and the day before she asked me to officiate because something happened with her officiant and they didn't have anyone to marry them. And I'm like, absolutely. And it was so much fun. It was such an honor. I loved it. I want to officiate all the weddings. So if any of you out there are getting married and you need an officiant, I am your girl. I will write a wonderful, beautiful thing about love, and I will be honored. Like, it's such an honor to guide two people through their vows. I can't even tell you. I want to do it every day. It was so special. And they kept thanking me. I'm like, no, thank you. This was amazing honor and privilege. It was, I mean, honestly, it's the highlight of my life. I did it for my sister's wedding, which is so special. And then getting to do it for Lulu and David. It was so special. I loved it so much. It was amazing. So that was a huge highlight of the trip as well. So, all right. So that's my little walk down Minnesota memory lane. This podcast is a few days late, but it's because I was in Minnesota. But I'm going to publish this now. And so if you are from Minnesota, you might resonate with some of the things that I said. And if you're not from Minnesota, well, I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about Minnesota. Don't take your people and your family and your friends for granted. And if you live in your home state, look around and appreciate it a little bit for me, because I sure wish I had appreciated mine a little bit more when I was still there. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, Kristen@KristensmithOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.